Joy to be here. I just want to read a few verses in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. I was just getting sorted out there as to how long I was to speak. There was a meeting last night and I've got 7.5 minutes. I don't think I quite managed to say all I wanted to say in the 7.5, but I didn't know too bad. But I think tonight I've got to about 5 to 8. And I'll certainly try to keep within the parameters of that tonight, although I have been asked to give a sort of report as well as ministry, so it's mix and match tonight. And so we just want to give a wee bit of report at the beginning, and then we really just want to move on to ministry, because there are a few things that I really want to share with you tonight. So we're going to start reading in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." And I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Now, just as far as the report is concerned, we just want to say at the beginning that we do really appreciate the prayerful support of the believers in the Shire in relation to the work that we're involved in. Most of you are well aware that the particular ministry that has been given to Mary and I at this time is a very difficult ministry. It has its ups and downs, its encouragements and many discouragements, and we do really appreciate the prayers of the Lord's people. And I know that particularly the believers here in Bute Hall and Prestwick have shown an interest in the work over many, many years, and we just want to publicly express our thanks for that, and we want to encourage you to keep on praying and keep on praying. It's really a tremendous encouragement. I don't suppose people at times appreciate how encouraging it is when somebody actually either phones or writes or comes up to you at the end of the meeting and say, "I pray for you every day," or "I pray for you every morning," or whatever it is. And it's a tremendous encouragement just to know that behind us there are a whole host of people that are praying, and not only supporting us in prayer, but obviously supporting us in a financial way as well. And we do appreciate that very, very much indeed. Now, as far as the situation, the work at the moment is concerned, we have got 7 guys with us at the moment, 5 in our house, and Robert and Heather have got 2 in their house in Cumnock. And we had 8, which was full capacity just a few weeks ago, and sadly 3 of the guys moved on, but since then we've taken another 2 guys in just in the last week or so. So you might remember the folks that are in the house, remember those that just have recently left us. One of the chaps was doing really, really well, and Robert's just recently refurbished his bus, the bus that he uses to go out on the streets and have a soup bus ministry in Kilmarnock and other places. He just recently finished refurbishing the bus and to sort of christen it, I suppose. He was going to take some of the guys for a weekend up to Loch Doon, and one of these guys was going with him, really excited about going, and the Friday morning they were getting everything prepared, and he was right in and helping Robert, and then suddenly he said he was away to pack his bags, and pack his bags he did, and he left. Now, we don't really know what was in his mind, but obviously there was something in his mind. We tried to speak to him, but it was to no avail, and Sammy left us. So you might remember Sammy. The Lord knows where he is, and I just pray the Lord would just continue to speak to him. There was another chap we had to ask to leave, primarily due to the attitude that he was adopting in the house. which was becoming a bit disruptive, and we really had to ask him to leave. And another guy was a guy that had been with us for a year past November, and he was just about to move into a council house in Cumnock, in a pretty good area, and then he decided that he was going to leave, and he took up with a young woman that he met. I don't know where he met her, but he met this young woman, and he moved in to live with her in Hurlford just in the last couple of weeks. So these are some of the disappointments. These are people that you have poured part of your life in. These are people that you've spent energy and time with. You've tried to encourage them and help them, and they disappear. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And two of the guys that we've brought in the last couple of weeks or so are guys that we had with us some time ago, and they left. And, you know, the sort of time goes on, and they've come back again. And just ask you to pray for all the guys that are with us, and all the guys that have been with us over the years. Some of them we do still have contact with, others we have lost contact with, but the Lord knows, and seed has been sown in their hearts and in their minds, and we're sure that eternity will reveal all that has been accomplished through the work in the house. So as I say, we've got seven people in the house at the moment, or five in our place and two in Robert and Heather's. There's also two folks in the community that we're in fairly close contact with. Gary has got his own flat in Carson, and Sandra has got a flat that is owned by the Helping Hand Trust in Auchinleck, and we'll be in fairly close contact with them as well. So there are really nine people that we're really ministering to on a fairly constant basis, and just really seeking to encourage them in the things of the Lord. We have a Bible study. Some people thought, you know, when I sort of stopped going on this circuit preaching, that I'd really stop preaching. Well, I preach every single day of the week. We have a Bible study every morning. We're supposed to start about 9, but it's never quite 9 by the time we get everything organised. But we have a time of singing and praising the Lord, and then we enter the Word of God together. We're right at the moment looking through the book of Ruth. We're really having some good times there. We're really just been thinking of God's grace. God's grace to a Moabitish woman, just a stranger, a widow. She had no claim at all on the inheritance of God, but, you know, she just desired a wee bit of it. And, you know, whenever she went back to Bethlehem, she got to Bethlehem, Judah, with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She just wanted to go and glean in a field. She just wanted something of the inheritance. She knew she didn't deserve it, but she knew that God had made provision for the widow. And he had made provision for the stranger. And she wanted to take the place of a gleaner just to get something that belonged to the inheritance of God's people. And God's grace brought her in. And the one who started as a gleaner became a bride. She became a bride of the mighty man of wealth. And we've been rejoicing in some of these truths as we've just been going through. We're just really into chapter 2. We take a wee while to move through. We've just recently been through the book of Joshua, and we've been other parts of the Bible as well over the years. And so remember these times in the morning, that it might really, that God would give me grace if I would have the responsibility most mornings. Occasionally Robert, son-in-law, would take the Bible study, but normally it would be me, and just pray that God would give us guidance and that God would speak through us, that we might just be fresh in our approach to things, and that we might be able to give something that would be of a spiritual input to the lad's life. We also have a meeting every Wednesday night in the house. We've been going through, we've dealt with the subject of speaking in tongues recently. A couple of the lads that are with us have sort of come from a background of Pentecostalism. They've been in a rehab before, which was run by Pentecostal Christians, and so they were introduced to speaking in tongues and so on, and other practices through the teaching in that rehab, and so they were really keen to know what we believe, or why we believe what we believe in relation to the speaking of tongues. So we've been through that subject in a couple of nights. We've looked at the subject of baptism. We've just recently looked at the subject of breaking of bread and fellowship and truth surrounding that. And so you might remember the meetings on a Wednesday night, that they would be profitable as well, and that there might be instruction given as to what God really expects for us as his people. Then Thursday night we have another meeting in the house. Again, I would be responsible for that. We use a material which is produced in America. It's called Reformers Unanimous. I suppose that sounds a wee bit like Alcoholics Anonymous, Reformers Unanimous, and that's no without significance. The chap who actually made up the course was a converted cocaine addict, and he got saved and was part of a church, an evangelical church, a Baptist church in the States, and he was having problems with the church, and the church was having problems with him. which quite often happens when people get saved from that sort of background and they're suddenly introduced to a group of Christians that are being kind of sheltered from that kind of background and a wee bit kind of set in their ways. And you know, sometimes as Christians we don't find it so all that easy to adapt to people coming in among us, and maybe we would rather not have these kind of people because they kind of, you know, they kind of cause us a wee bit of problems and they cause us to think about things that we don't really want to think about and maybe change things that we don't want to change. And you know, he felt like that in this particular church that he was in, but him and the pastor really got together and I suppose they came to this conclusion that he had to learn to put up with them and they had to learn to put up with him. And that's right, isn't it? I remember there was a chap saved many years ago when Jim and I had meetings down in North Shields. He was a bit of a gangster. He was involved in gangland protection. He was involved in the drug scene and so on. And he came into fellowship in North Shields. And I remember him saying on one occasion, he said, I've got to learn to live with these people. But he says, these people have got to learn to live with me. It's got to be a two-way thing, isn't it? You see, the problem is that we're so set in our ways, we think it's got to be all our way. You know, it's all our way or it's the highway. But, you know, there's got to be a coming and going, hasn't there? And so this pastor and this chap, Steve Currington, they got together and eventually they brought out this program for really dealing, because obviously this chap saved the cane addict really on fire for the Lord. He wanted to reach fellow addicts, etc. And he wanted a ministry among people with addictions. And so they developed this program. And it's totally and utterly Christ-centred, it's cross-centred, it's fantastic material, and we really have been working our way, slowly I should say, but we are working our way through that on a Thursday night, and we're really having some powerful times when really God is just speaking to all our hearts. So you might remember the meetings in the morning, you might remember the meeting on the Wednesday night, and the meeting on the Thursday night as well. Once a month we're in the cafe. The first Sunday, the first Thursday of the month, we have a meeting in the cafe, which is more evangelistic in its approach. It's a gospel meeting, and we try to encourage some of the people from the cafe to come to that meeting on a Thursday night. Over the years, we've had a good number of folks have come in, a good number would come on a Sunday night as well to our gospel meeting, but there's some that will not come to the meeting in the hall, but we're able to get them in on a Thursday night in the cafe. So it's this coming Thursday night, it's the first in the month, so we'll get in the cafe. We're trying to get a guest speaker, but we're just really praying about that just now, and we're really just looking to the Lord to exercise a particular person's heart to take that meeting on Thursday night, because normally it would be myself, occasionally we might get somebody else, but really pray that God would really move and that again we'd see the cafe well filled and really see God touching lives. We did have a meeting in the home maybe 6 weeks ago. I don't know whether you've heard of Gary Brotherston, but Gary Brotherston was saved in prison when he was on remand for murder. He eventually served 11 years of a life sentence, and we had him in the home one night in our house with 50 odd people in the house as Gary sang and as he gave his testimony, and then after giving his testimony he preached the gospel, and after giving his preaching the gospel he then had a go at us Christians, and I suppose he really tore strips off every one of us that night, and we really all felt the weight of God's word on our hearts that night. And that was a tremendous night when God was really touching the lives of believers and unbelievers alike. So these are the meetings that were arranged, and maybe not as formal as the type of meetings that I used to be involved in, but these are the meetings that we're involved in a daily and a weekly basis. So I haven't stopped preaching, I haven't stopped ministering the word of God, I'm just doing it in a slightly different format than I used to do it. There's a work in the cafe itself. The cafe is open 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, 11 o'clock to 1:30. And we're really grateful that nowadays we've got the support of a number of other people in the cafe, Gary and Sandra and James and Alan, who are at the back there, have all been, and John, have all been able to support us in the cafe, and that really frees me up a wee bit because we're really running a fairly big organisation now. There's a lot of administration involved. Everything we do is under the auspices of the Helping Hand Trust, which was a charity that we set up 6 years ago when we bought the cafe. Now we now have the cafe, we've got the house in Auchinleck, we've got a flat in Auchinleck, we've got a workshop and a warehouse in Auchinleck, we've got a charity shop in Cumnock, And all the administration of that is really all down to my shoulders. So there's a lot of paperwork, everything has got to be absolutely right financially as far as the Charity Commission and all the rest of it is concerned. So it's really good being able to sort of withdraw a wee bit from the cafe. I'd be in the cafe two, maybe 3 days a week, but there'll be maybe 2 days when I'm able just to withdraw from that work and really get into the house and get into my, onto my desk and or get in front of my desk and try to clear the mountain of paperwork that just accumulates there. So remember the work in the cafe as it continues, as I say, not only with myself but with Sandra and Gary and John and Alan and James. And of course they've come from a background of addiction. They know just they're in the same way. Well, the trust are no longer in the same wavelength as the folks that come in, but I mean they know where they're coming from, and particularly Sandra, who was brought up in the Cumnock area, and she knows all the people in a personal basis, and they can see the change that God has made in her life and in the lives of others. As I mentioned, we've got the shop and the workshop. Mary would be in the shop most days, and Robert would be involved in the guys, delivering, uplifting stuff for the shop and doing other work that comes to hand. And so remember Mary and remember Robert as they're involved with the guys on a daily basis. There would always be at least one of the guys in the shop every day with Mary, and Robert would be responsible for the rest of them. So you might remember the work in its different aspects. Just one or two individuals just you could just pray for. I could spend the rest of the time talking about people, but I really want to just move on in a minute or two. Pray for Isabel. I suppose we really should call it Isabel. Big Izzy is not really a very complimentary, is it? So we'll just call it Isabel. Isabel has been coming to our gospel meetings and coming to the meeting in the cafe, and she used to come on a Thursday night as well for a good number of months now. Her children started coming to the children's meeting that we used to have in Auchinleck a few years ago, and they would have come to the gospel meeting as well, but Isabel just totally point blank refused to come to meetings. I tried everything. I tried reverse psychology. I tried sort of every trick in the trade to try to get her to meetings, and she just totally and utterly refused until suddenly one day she told us she was coming to the meeting, and come to the meeting she did. And she's come to, you know, our meetings on a regular basis since that. She told us she was going to get saved before Christmas. But you probably realise that Christmas 2007 is certainly passed, and Easter 2008 is passed, and Isabel's not yet saved. There's times she's really troubled. She says she needs to be saved, and that's certainly true, and she wants to get saved, and she doesn't really know why she's not saved. There's just something holding her back, and she doesn't know what it is. So I would ask you really to pray that the Lord would just really take dealings in her life, and that she might really be broken and really brought to know the Lord Jesus as her Saviour. Flo was at the meeting on Sunday night past. We've had contact with Flo for years. She's originally an Auchinleck girl, Flo McComb, related to the McCombs that were associated with the Assembly in Auchinleck. Now, Flo has got an interest, always has had a sort of softness towards the gospel, and but it's been difficult to get Flo along, but she was there on Sunday night. She had a wee scare, a health scare, just a fortnight or so ago. Mary had to take her down to accident emergency one morning with an abscess on her ankle, which was really quite a bit of a mess, and she was really in a lot of pain. And so there's these wee sort of experiences that, you know, really get you closer to people. You know, I know it takes up your time running backwards and forwards, but you know, it's times like that that you really get close to people. In fact, you know, Sandra's sitting here. I don't want to sort of say too much about Sandra's story, but you know, it was really when Sandra ended up in hospital with a deep vein thrombosis that it was just straight after that that she came to stay in her house and ultimately got saved and baptised and came into the fellowship and the assembly in Auchinleck. So, you know, we've really got to put ourselves out for people, and these are situations that arise, health situations, you know, whatever it is, you know, oftentimes are just opportunities that God's given us just to get close to people and just to show them a bit of kindness and in a practical way to bring before them something of the compassion and the love of God. So really pray for Isabel and pray for Flo. Pray that Flo would be with us again tomorrow night, and that God would really speak to her life. There's a chap as well, Sandy. Sandy came a few times, and God really spoke to him. I don't have any doubt about that. that God really, really spoke to him. In fact, one night in the cafe after the meeting, he said that he trusted the Lord. And there was a wee change in his life for a few days, but it never really lasted, and he's really got himself in a big, big mess again as far as drugs and drink is concerned. He's got a dual addiction, so really pray that God again would just speak to Sandy. Pray for Alison. Alison is a woman from the area, Auchinleck. We've really been praying much recently in Auchinleck that God would really move in the area. Auchinleck itself, it's good. We have a good number of folks that would come on a Sunday night, and we have had that for a good number of months. But it's mainly contacts through the cafe, and we've really been praying that God would bring folks in from the district itself. And 2 weeks ago, there was a young woman, Alison, came in for the first time. Margaret Hastings brought her along. She's friendly with Margaret and Tam's daughter, and she listened to the gospel. She sat and she went. She came back last Sunday, and she waited behind after the meeting, and she professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray for Alison. She hasn't got it easy. She's got a lot of problems, and just pray that she might really just keep going on for God. We have contact with a man called Neil Dempsey in the community. Neil's got a lot of problems. He's got an alcohol problem and a whole host of other problems. He's just recently been released from prison on a tag. Understand he's already broken his curfew on a couple of occasions. John Leach and I would visit him on a sort of semi-regular basis. There's times when he's really almost demented when you speak to him about the Lord, and he realises his need, and he just doesn't seem to be able to see a way through the darkness and the misery of his life. But he's heard the gospel time and time again, and we're really praying that God would really just speak to us. Just a final thing before we go on to some of these verses, and that is that at the end of next week I make a further trip to Moldova. It's my first time in 3.5 years, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really getting quite excited about it. I'm counting down the number of sleeps, you know, 5 sleeps to go. It's 3.5 years since I was last in Eastern Europe. I used to go 2 or 3 times a year and did that for years and years and years. But it's 3.5 years since I was last there, and I'm really looking forward to going back to be with the saints in Cahul in the southern part of Moldova. There's 15 of us going. Gary and Sandra are going with us. There's 12 other people from other parts of the UK. We're meeting up, and we're doing a seed sower outreach around the Cahul and Roșu area. And then at the end of the trip, I'm making my way down to Ploiești in Romania just to meet the saints there just for one night. We'll have a meeting arranged in a little village of Plopeni. And it's a long, long, long time since I was there in Plopeni. Been in Ploiești 3.5 years ago, but it's a long, long time since I was in Plopeni, and really looking forward to meeting up with the saints there. So really pray that God would bless that trip, that there might be a sense of unity amongst the team that is going, and that there might be a harmony with the believers there, and that God would bring forth his word, and that souls would be saved. So thanks for your prayers, and I trust that what we've said tonight would encourage you just to keep on praying. We certainly value your prayers, and we do value the interest that you have in the lads. We've been here obviously over the years a number of times on a Saturday night, and we do appreciate the kindness and the warm welcome that is given to us. Now, I just want, just for the next few minutes, just the rest of the minutes, the time that I've got to my disposal, I want us really just to think about the fruit of the Spirit tonight, the fruit of the Spirit. I remember reading a story some time ago of a preacher. He was preaching, and as he preached, he had 2 jars sitting in front of him in the pulpit. And these 2 jars looked exactly the same. They were pretty, they were nice, and they were just exactly the same, and they just sat there. And every so often, as he preached, he referred to these jars, and they were just looked the same, and they were very pretty, and they were very nice. And then at one point in his sermon, he took them up, and the contents of these jars he poured into 2 bowls. And although they looked pretty on the outside and looked the same on the outside, one of them was full of vinegar and the other was full of honey. And the point he was making was this, that Christianity, the value of our Christianity, the reality of our Christianity is only really tested when we're tipped. It's tested when we're tipped. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. How do we react when we're tipped? How do we react when somebody stands on the toes? How do we react when we're under pressure? How do we react when we're criticised, when we're rejected? How do we react when things are not going the way we want them to go? How do we react? That's the test of our Christianity. You see, Christianity is really nothing to do with what we look like on the outside. It's nothing to do with it. It's what we are on the inside. That's what really matters. And you know, we can come to all the meetings and we can have our best suits on and we can be really spruced up in our expensive aftershave and we can have all that and drive up in our big fancy cars and look the part and have our big Bible and preach and pray. But what happens from our tip? What happens from our tip? So we're going to do a wee bit of a self-evaluation tonight. And we're going to just highlight one or two little scenarios. And we're going to ask the question, what happens when we're in these scenarios? What is manifest? What comes out? You see, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 6, he talks about the corrupt tree and the good tree, and he talks about the corrupt fruit and the good fruit. You see, it's what is in that comes out. The Lord Jesus says, out of the abundance, out of the overflow of the heart, man speaks. So suppose you are faced with a situation where there's an opportunity to serve somebody, to minister to someone, to help somebody. How do you react? Do you react in a spirit of love? Do you move towards that person with a spirit of self-sacrifice, being prepared to pour out yourself for that person's good because you love them? Or when you're faced with an opportunity to serve someone, to minister to someone, to help someone, are you marked by self-love and say, well, you know, I don't want to get involved. It's going to cost me something. I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the effort, and rather than demonstrating that sacrificial love towards them, we're marked by self-love that draws us away from the situation and leaves the person lying there in their need. How do we react when we're tipped? Are we marked by love? Grasping every opportunity to serve another. Or are we marked by self-love? Withdrawing from others in order to preserve ourselves. Or maybe self-love manifests itself in a slightly different way that will help someone, but we help someone because we're hoping to get something in return for ourselves. I don't have time to apply all these things to the Lord Jesus, but you know, we can think about his love, can't we? Selfless. I suppose we could write one word over the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus, others. Never once did he think about himself. He didn't say to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, do you realise what time it is? I've had a hard day. He would go to the well at Sychar and he would sit there as the sun beat down upon him because he had love in his heart for a poor immoral woman. And when the disciples said to the little children, just, you know, the master's too busy, the Lord Jesus says, just let the little children come to me. So when we're faced with an opportunity to serve, are we marked by love? Or are we marked by self-love? When we're faced with a situation that throws all our plans, all our preconceived plans, when it throws them all into the air, how do we react? The spirit of joy, accepting everything is from God and realizing that he's got a higher plan and a higher purpose, or do we get frustrated and become irritable and angry? You know, when you've got all your plans laid out for the day and suddenly they knock at the door and somebody comes to visit you. You don't see anything, do you? But you're boiling away inside, aren't you? We don't like getting our plans upset, do we? You know, we want everything just to be keeping going smoothly in our life. And when it doesn't go smooth and things get upset, when the car breaks down, when the car doesn't start, when we're suddenly involved in an accident or something happens and the train's late, the bus is late, when we get frustrated, instead of just counting it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, diverse trials, that's how James says we should react. So the Lord reacted, wasn't it? even when faced with the cross. When everything had suddenly turned against him and everyone turned against him. And it was with the cross looming across his pathway. Where he speaks to his disciples in the upper room about his love, and he spoke to them about his joy. You see, joy, happiness. Happiness is dependent on circumstances, isn't it? But joy shouldn't be dependent on circumstances. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Joy is a spiritual quality that is deep down within us, if we're spiritual. Joy is something we should manifest regardless of the circumstances that we're in. But if you're honest, and I'm honest tonight, so often when our plans are interrupted, there's anything but joy in our face, and there's anything but joy in our heart. There's frustration, and there's irritability, and there's anger. And we think we're spiritual. We think we're spiritual. And yet we're marked by self-love, and we're marked by irritability, and we're marked by frustration. Where's the fruit of the Spirit? In me. When I'm tipped. When we experience things that are harmful. Harmful to us physically, domestically, financially. What do we exhibit? Do we exhibit peace? Or worry? Worry. Dr. Stuart Gillespie would be out of a job if people didn't worry. Wouldn't you need four doctors up there in Cumnock if there was no worry? One man would be able to run the whole show. No worry, no depression, no anxiety. It's in us all, isn't it? But you know, if we're really spiritual, if we're really living in the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, then it doesn't matter the changing circumstances around it, it doesn't matter the harm and the hurt that's coming to us, we'll still be marked by peace. We go to the upper room ministry again, don't we? The Lord Jesus is facing the cross with all its hurt and all its agony and its anguish and its pain. And he says to these men, "My peace I give unto you. My peace, not as the world gives, my peace." Is that who we really are? And some of the redundancy notice lands on our desk. Peace. Some of the examination takes place at the doctor's and the prognosis is given, cancer or whatever. Peace. Or worry, or anxiety, or agitation, or concern. The Bible says we should be anxious for nothing. Peter says, cast all your care on him, he cares for you. It's easy to say all these things, isn't it? It's easy to say. What about the reality? When the rubber hits the road, when we're tipped, what comes out? What's in us? What we really are is manifest from our tips. Make no mistake about it. Out of the abundance, out of the overflow of the heart, man speaks. And people fall short of our expectations. Are we marked by long suffering? Or do we get quick temper? Think of the Lord Jesus, think of his long suffering. He was not one of these men that he had round about him that lived up to his expectations, was he? You know, I don't know how he put it. The most favoured men on the planet. Yet they were so stubborn, they were so self-willed, they were so ignorant. Yet he was long suffering with them, wasn't he? He was patient with them. Never lost the plot. Never lost his temper. Just dealt with them in a patient, long suffering manner. Is that how we deal with people that don't rise up to our expectations? You know, I'm glad that God is long-suffering with me, because I'm no different from any of these 12 men that followed the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth. There's times that I'm so ignorant, I'm so stubborn, I'm so self-willed, and yet he's so gentle and he's so long-suffering with me. And yet I'm so quick-tempered with others. Yeah? When people don't see things the way we see them, when people cross us, when people don't seem to be making the progress that we want to see them, when people do things that we've told them 100 times no to do, how do we react? Just fly off the handle on them. Give up on them. And we're marked by long suffering. How do we react when we're tipped in? When people are inconsiderate to us, do we react with gentleness, softness, or tenderness, or harshness, roughness in our manners, in our temper, in our words? Think of the words spoken about the Lord Jesus when he was reviled. He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that would pluck off the hair. How do we react when people are inconsiderate to us, when people are treating us badly, are treating ours badly? You know, sometimes we get more concerned about how people treat our family than how they even treat us. Don't touch my family. When people are inconsiderate to us and to ours, do we just react with gentleness, fruit of the Spirit? Or are we hard? Are we harsh in our dealings with others? When I see a need in someone's life, do I exhibit goodness or meanness? You know, when I see someone in need, am I moved to do something, to help them, to act benevolently towards them? Or do I withhold from them that which I have to meet their needs? I know I've got to be careful, and I've got to be careful in the type of work that I'm involved in. If I was given to everybody that asked for it, I would be a pauper a long, long time ago. I would have a queue of people outside the cafe every morning if I was just giving and giving and giving and giving. So that you've got to use wisdom, but I'm thinking about the general run-of-the-mill situation. You know, what does it say about the Lord Jesus? It says, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He went about doing good. Jesus was a doer. He didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. That's our problem. You've got too many people that can talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. People that got all right on the outside that look good and look impressive, but inside, but it really matters. There's a lack. There's a lack. So how do we react then? When we see someone in need, someone that needs something, Do we respond with goodness, or do we respond with meanness? When we are challenged in our beliefs, do we exercise faith, or do we start to doubt? You know, we're living in a day when our faith and our beliefs are constantly under attack. Whether it's in the newspapers, the television, or whatever media, and constantly, what we stand for as believers, it's under attack. And do we start to doubt and question it all? Or are we resting in our faith in God and in his unerring word? And even when things in our life start to collapse around us, when all that we thought was so stable and so secure, when it's all suddenly rocks and it all starts to fall apart, do we start doubting God? Or is our faith such that takes us through every storm and every circumstance? How do we react when we're tipped? What comes out? When someone is causing trouble, than argumentative complaining about others. Are we marked by meekness? Moving into the situation, seeking to be a peacemaker, seeking to bring reconciliation, or do we move into that situation and create more discord and more disharmony and more trouble? It's easier to be a troublemaker than a peacemaker, isn't it? We've seen that in assembly life over the years, haven't we? Seems to be far more troublemakers than peacemakers. What do you claim to be spiritual? So how do we react? Whether it's in the home, in our domestic situation, or our work situation, or the assembly situation, when there's discord, when there's disharmony, when there's trouble brewing, how do we react? Do we dive in the middle and revel in it all and stir it all up? Or are we marked by meekness? Pouring oil in troubled waters, as it were. Giving that soft answer that turns away wrath, bringing warring parties together. Are we peacemakers or are we troublemakers? And finally, when something tries to control our mind or will or emotions or life, do we exhibit temperance? Or do we exhibit self-indulgence? Do we give in? Do we give in to temptations? Are we marked by temperance? Temperance is not so much self-control. How can self control self? You know, if we're relying on self-control, then we're going to fail. Because self can never control self. Temperance is not self-control. Temperance, here it is, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's Spirit-controlled. It's a Spirit-controlled life. And if we're going to overcome the many temptations that we're faced with in life, the world wants to control us. And the world wants to bring us under its bondage in so many different ways, and Satan wants to bring us under his bondage in so many different ways, he'll try to do that. And when we're faced with the temptation to do that which is wrong, to sin against God, to err from his ways, are we exercising temperance, spirit control, power against that temptation? Or are we marked by self-indulgence, giving in to it? Giving into the temptation to sin, giving into the world as it allures us with its pleasure and its power and its popularity. Do we give in? Or do we stand firm? Are we temperate? Are our lives under the control and the influence and the power of the Spirit? So my little message to you tonight and to my heart is simply this. How do we react when we're tipped? How do we react when we're tipped? Spirituality has got nothing to do with the number of meetings that you come, or the type of meetings that you go to, or the way you dress. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with the things that we say. It's got nothing to do with the amount of knowledge that we have. Although all these things are important, but spirituality is how we react when we're tipped. How we react in the changing circumstances of life. What is in, what we really are, will be seen, not in the good days, but what we really are will be seen in the bad days. It will be seen in the days when everything